Good morning. It's good to see you all out this morning. It's good to hear that fellowship. Very glad to see you all. We've had some folks come out that hadn't been able to be with us for a little while. We noticed when we look in our bulletin there that we've got some people facing some challenges right now. But we also noticed that when we look out from this perspective, we got some people that have gained their health, that they've returned, they're able to come out and be with us, and we're most grateful for that. I thought this morning, and in preparation for our worship services, that we might all stand and read the 23rd Psalm. So if you're able to do that, I would very much appreciate it. Let's stand and let's read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
I sing praises to your name.
Be seated, please. Next, we will sing three very short hymns, and then we will go to our Father in prayer. The first of these is Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Lord,
shine on me.
next hymn is Awesome God. Our God. Prayer, we will sing, You Are My God. You
are my
As we pray together, feel free to pray your own prayer or join me in praying for mine. I'm going to pray about our light. Let's pray. Father, our country is beset with conflict and we are troubled by this. So assist us who are part of the way of Jesus to shine a light to all, to be a light, to consume the darkness to the best of our ability, to wipe out the darkness in each and every part of our life. Help us show that a spirit of collaboration is possible, that even those who do not see through life through the lens of Christianity can see by our lives that we are peaceable people. Let contentiousness not be part of who we are as people when we deal with others, whether it's our children, our parents, those people at work. Let our light of peaceableness shine to all. Help us to cultivate in all of our relationships, especially inside our church family, where we can talk with each other face to face in a spirit of love, and bring about peace as Jesus intended us to. Help us to be known as peaceable people, able to achieve that with everybody who's willing, and guide us so that even when others are not, we still are peaceable people. Help each and every one of us to learn how to skillfully talk to each other and all the people we come in contact with. Not at each other in texts or letters or through other people, but face to face with genuineness and sincerity. And help us in our conversations with you to be honest and forthright. And for all of us who are parents, we ask you to keep our children safe. All these things we say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before our scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson, we will sing Ancient Words.
There is a children's training class, and now it's a good time to lead your kids back there or let them go to that area. This morning I'll be reading from Numbers 11, 18 through 23. Numbers 11, 18 through 23 in the English Standard Version. And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, and you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days. But a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. For you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why did we come out of Egypt? But Moses said, The people among whom I have number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat, and they may eat a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them, and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them, and may be enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, Is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not.
We have a guest in our area right now, but not a welcome guest. It's Arctic Blast. Anybody met this guest yet? But have you noticed that when we stand in the sunlight like we have today, it's not nearly so bad? I mean, if there's a wind blowing, maybe, but just the sunshine brings about such a warmth and a great welcome change. And that's kind of what we're doing here as we're gathered together to worship God. We are in the sunlight of God. And that's always a warming place to be, a place where we gain strength and help. And we're just so glad that God calls us together to be like this. And we're so glad that you're with us this morning. We've got a good number present in the building. We know we also have a good number that are online. And we are very thankful that you have joined us, either through video or audio or both. But thankful that we can gather together and give God our worship and our praise. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Let us know if we can help you in any way. Again, whether you're here in the building or online, let us know. And we'll do everything we can to assist you. But we're so thankful you are here. And we hope this will be a beneficial time together. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. That's when we'll again worship God. And we're going to finish our series of lessons looking at some of the hymns that we sing and the messages that they have, needed messages. And tonight we're going to look at the song that we sometimes sing, Lead Me to Some Soul Today. There is a powerful scriptural message there. And let's look at that together. And I hope you'll join us in person, online if you need to, but it is good to be together on the Lord's Day. Now get your Bible out. Let's turn to those ancient words. We make no apologies for that. They are true words, and we love this book that God has given us, the Bible. So I really hope you'll be looking at your Bible as we get into this lesson and follow along, and let's make sure that we understand together what God is teaching us. Now let's imagine that we ask a friend to join us for a movie this afternoon. And the friend says, well, oh, that sounds good, but let me first ask Alexa. And I think you probably know who Alexa is. Many of you do anyway. It's got something to do with that Amazon device on that table. And we don't quite get it, but we say, all right. And then in further conversation, we find this friend consults with Alexa for just about everything they do. And we think, wow, really? I mean, Alexa can give you direction for your life and every aspect of your life. We'd never looked at Alexa like that before. But let's take the name Alexa out. And let's put in the name Jesus. Does that make more sense? I mean, Jesus is revealed to us in the Bible, a very ancient book. And just about everything we know about Jesus is revealed to us in the Bible. Does it make more sense for us to let him guide our lives than Alexa? Particularly, let me just mention a very familiar passage, Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus says there, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those are stringent demands. that means I'm going to have to sacrifice some things if I'm going to follow Jesus. Do I really want to call on Jesus for guidance and counsel in my life? And especially considering it all comes through this book, such an old book. And so today we're going to talk about the idea why I believe the Bible. The last couple of weeks we've looked at other items of our faith. We talked about why we believe in God, why we believe Jesus arose from the dead. Today let's talk about the Bible. Again, it's a very old book. The newest part of the Bible is getting close to 2,000 years old. Other parts of it are way older than that. And we're walking according to what this old, old book tells us. Why would we do that? And so let's look at this idea, why I believe the Bible. And I'm going to give you three reasons that I would give for believing the Bible. You may have others, but let's at least get the ball rolling by thinking about these. I'm going to begin by saying I believe the Bible because it is from God. I believe the Bible because it is from God. Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about God, why we believe in God. I can't see him with these eyes. I've never heard his voice with these ears. I can't touch him, feel him. Why would I believe in God? And as we saw in that lesson, which I'm not going to go back through right now, there are solid reasons for believing in God. There is evidence and there is logical reasoning that can be applied. And the conclusion is, yes, I know there is a God. And I walk by faith, but it is a faith grounded in evidence and logic. And so I know that there is a God. And when I look at this God in the Bible, I learn that he is a God who is personal. There are some that believe in deism. Deism says, well, yeah, there is a God, but we don't know him. He kind of walked away after finishing the creation, and now we have to do our best to try to find who he is and what he would like for us to be. I don't think that's it at all. I think the Bible is very clear. This God is personal, and he wants a relationship with us, and what that means is this book is God's message for you and me. And so I believe this Bible because God gave it to me. God wants me to live the best life possible. He created me. And therefore, for that reason, I believe the Bible. Let's look at this quickly, the idea that the Bible claims to be from God. You see that in a number of ways. For example, a very general way we might say are some of the very familiar phrases in the Bible, like says the Lord or saith the Lord. How many times does that appear in the Bible? Well, according to my computer Bible program, in the English Standard Version, it appears 489 times. And then another phrase that is similar but different, word of the Lord, 256 times. And there's other ways of looking at that. In other words, all throughout the Bible, there is this underlying message. It is from God. This is not the work of people, although people were involved. It's the work of God. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, a familiar passage for most of us. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. And Peter spells this out. He says this is what it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, Peter said, that no prophecy of Scripture, and when he uses the word Scripture, he's talking about that which has been written. That's literally what that word means. So the written Bible that we have, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And there is a very concise statement of the idea of the inspiration of the Bible. It did not originate with people. Now, the word inspire, we use it generally to talk about great works of literature. Someone was inspired when they wrote that. Well, what do we mean? It means that they had experiences, they have education, and these all can come together, and they wrote us something really wonderful. But when we're talking about the Bible, that's not what we mean. we mean that it came from God. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is even clearer on that point. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and listen to how Paul states the idea of inspiration. All scripture is breathed out by God. Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And there Paul says, this is from God. And why? Because God wants us to have the best life possible. The best way of looking at life, the best way of dealing with other people, the best values to have in life, the best way to talk to each other, and on we could go. This book is from God, breathed out. And we talk about, inspiration can refer to the way we breathe. And here Paul says, God breathed it out. So the source of this Bible is definitely from God. Let me show you an example of how we do use that on a regular basis as a church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 23 and 24. And I know you've heard this a lot if you are a part of this church, or if you are one that listens in or watches our services. And it's good because this is meant for this. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look with me at verses 23 and 24. Paul wrote, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he goes on and talks about the rest of the Lord's Supper, and we hear that read often. And we do that. Every Lord's Day, we come together and we partake of the Lord's Supper. And why is that? Is it because we believe Paul? No, that's not why I do it. I do it because I believe God. And Paul said that. This is what the Lord revealed to me. And now that it's written down, I believe it and I practice that on a regular basis. And there's many examples like that throughout the Word of God. God has given us this book. It is for our benefit. And that's one reason I believe it. Paul in Acts 14 and verse 17 was in the city of Lystra. And he made this statement. He was talking to a people that were idolaters. They worshipped idols. And when they heard Paul and Barnabas speaking, they said, oh, these are gods among us. And they began to worship Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas said, no, don't do that. And then Paul began talking about the true God. Listen to what he says in Acts 14 and verse 17. He did not leave himself without witness. The true God did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with good food and gladness. In other words, Paul said, there is a God in heaven, and he has left evidences of his existence. Now, here Paul was talking about rains and fruitful seasons, but he could also have been talking about the Bible, Scripture, and that's what we're talking about today. Yes, there is a God, but he did not step away, and we just have to hope we can discover him somehow. The Bible is God's message to us. And because of that, I believe the Bible. Now that may sound like some to be circular reasoning. The Bible says it's from God, and therefore I believe the Bible is from God. And if that were all we had, that could be true. But let's combine it with a second reason now. Another reason why I believe the Bible is because the Bible is true. I believe the Bible because it is true. Now, let me ask you something a little off topic for a moment. You know what a credit report is? I trust you do. If you have applied for a loan for a car or for a house, you know very well what a credit report is, or a credit score. And it's formed by financial institutions by looking to how faithful you have been at paying your debts. And when you go in to ask for money for one reason or another, they'll look at the credit report, and they'll see, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful in repaying your debts? And if so, good chance you might get this loan. Well, does the Bible have a credit score? Can we look at the Bible and say, well, you know, it's given these statements in the past, and at the time, nobody knew whether it was going to happen or not. And later, did it come true? Does the Bible have a credit score? Well, that's kind of what we're talking about now. The Bible has an outstanding credit score. The Bible is true. Numbers chapter 11. This was what Earl read for us earlier this morning. Numbers chapter 11, God had told the people of Israel, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for. They had been complaining. We've only got this manna. Man, we're so tired of manna. Can't we have some meat? You know, why don't you just take us back to Egypt? You don't care about us. And God was angry. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you an entire month's worth of meat. And Moses is like, Lord, could we have a word here for a minute? You're promising to give a month's worth of meat. Where are we going to get that meat? I mean, we don't have the livestock, the herds to give them meat for a month. Are we going to catch all the fish in the sea and give it to them for meat for a month? What are you talking about, Lord? Did you hear what God said in verse 23, Numbers chapter 11? The Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. In other words, God said, okay, you doubt me? Just stand back and watch. And flocks of quail began flying in amidst the people. Flocks of meat came in. It was meat by air delivery. It really was. And they did just what God said for a month. They were able to eat meat, and of course some of them died because God was angry and he struck them with a plague. But the idea was, how in the world are you going to do something like that, God? I just don't get it. And yet the word of the Lord was true. There's many examples in the Bible like that. Let me pick out just a couple. For example, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. Here is one of those statements of something that will be. And at the time, people said, what are you talking about? We just don't get this. Isaiah 44, 28. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and he shall fulfill all my purpose. Saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. And of the temple, your foundation shall be laid. And the people listening to Isaiah may have said, what are you talking about, Isaiah? The city of Jerusalem is already built. The temple is already in place. And this guy, Cyrus, who is that? 150 years later, the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. The temple had been utterly destroyed. And yet there was this king, the king of the Persian Empire, now the mightiest force on earth, who said, you can now go back home and start rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem, just like Isaiah said 150 years before. Now, where did Isaiah get that? It didn't come from his own imagination. No way could he have known what was going to happen. It came from God. Or another example, look at Psalm 22. We could spend a lot of time on Psalm 22, but I'm going to focus on verses 16 through 18. Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. And what is this talking about? Most of us know. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. And at the time David wrote that, people probably were scratching their heads and saying, what is this? Talking about somebody whose hands and feet have been pierced, circled around by people that are gawking at them, gloating over the victim. And now they're dividing the clothing and gambling for some of the clothing. What is this all about? And yet 1,000 years later, Jesus fulfills all of that, plus many other details that we find in Psalm 22. And what I'm saying is that messianic prophecy and prophecy in general tells us the Bible is true. How in the world could these people have known what was going to come to pass years later? Unexpected events mentioned in detail, and yet they came true. We can't even tell what the weather's going to be 3 days from now. And yet these writers of the Bible, they knew what it was. Psalm 119 verse 160 sums it up really well. In fact, that word "sum" is part of it. Psalm 119 verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Now, when I look on the cover of my Bible, it says Holy Bible, but it could say the Book of Truth, and it would be right. Every detail, everything that is mentioned that can be checked in history has proven to happen just the way the prophets said it would. And that's another reason why I believe the Bible, because it's true. All the things it talks about that can be checked have come to pass. Now, there's other things that haven't yet come to pass, like the second coming of Jesus, judgment day, the place heaven and the place hell. Those things have not yet happened. How do we know they're going to happen? Because I look at the credit score of the Bible. It's excellent. In fact, it's impeccable. God knows what he's talking about, and I believe the Bible. Number three, let's talk about one other reason why I believe the Bible, and that is I believe the Bible because it is vital for me. It is vital that I believe it. And again, this goes on the idea that there is a God who cares about me, that has given me this message, and it's not just a pastime. It's not something that God says, you know, if you ever need something to read, here, try this. The Bible presents itself as vital, and I believe it. When you get on an airplane to go somewhere, there's always this period of time at the beginning before you take off. The air flight attendant stands up and goes through this routine, and that's when we reach for something in the pocket, you know, to read. Because we know what they're going to say. We can almost recite it ourselves if we've been on enough flights. But is it important knowledge? Is it important to know where the life preserver is in case the plane should go down in water? Or what to do in case the air system in the plane should go out? Is it important that we listen to that information? Yeah, even though we may not want to, it is vital information. You can say that to a much greater degree about the Bible. The Bible's message is vital for everyone. Here's how the Hebrew writer put it in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, that's what we just talked about, it's true. It happened just like they said. Since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. If you ignore the Bible, he's saying, what are you going to do? Come judgment day, and now you realize, hey, it really was all true, just like the Bible said. What are you going to do then? Now that it's too late, we must pay careful attention. The message is vital. James chapter 1 verse 21 again gives a reason why we should view it as vital. James chapter 1 and verse 21, where James says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. He's talking about the Bible. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Why? it is able to save your souls. Save us? Save from what? I'm doing really well. My health is good. I've got enough food in the pantry. I've got everything I need. What are you talking about? Save. Read the Bible. And you'll see there's more than just material things. And there is a great need for spiritual salvation. This word can save our souls. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Paul says this. Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And the Bible could be viewed as something God has given us by his grace. Don't receive it in vain. And he's talking more than just the Bible. He's talking about salvation. He goes on in verse 2. He says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you sense urgency in that exhortation? I certainly do. You know, it's like the commercials on TV. Call in the next 15 minutes. That's kind of what Paul is doing. Because we don't know that we've got 15 minutes. He doesn't say respond to the gospel in 15 minutes. He says now. Now is that acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. It's vital that we receive this, that we believe it. Jesus gave us a key in giving us this book. God himself gave us a key. It is a key that will unlock our prison of distress, our prison of hopelessness, our prison of agony. And yet many people just toss the key as if it is really nothing. Oh, some people like it. I don't. So I don't need this key. Oh, please, rethink that. This is your key to a wonderful eternity. Jesus, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he came to Zacchaeus. The whole town said, what is he doing going to Zacchaeus' home? That man is worthless. He is hopeless. And yet Jesus saw he is someone created in the image of God. I'm coming to him. I'm going to give him the opportunity to turn his life around, which he did. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this home because he also is a son of Abraham. But listen to what he says in Luke 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It is vital that you listen to Jesus, because he came to save us. So who do we ask? If we're thinking about getting drunk, if we're thinking about cheating on our spouse, if we're thinking about filing a dishonest tax return, who do we ask? Alexa? Siri, tell me, what should I do? They can give you a lot of good knowledge and facts. Can they give you the counsel you need for really important decisions in life? The Bible is our only 100% reliable source. I believe the Bible. It is from God. It is true. It is vital. And I urge you to believe it too. And if you believe the Bible and you're not a child of God right now, you really ought to be thinking seriously about becoming a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, believe it enough that you're willing to turn away from sins, confess him before others, and do what Jesus himself commanded to put him on in baptism? Then let your faith act in just a moment. We'll help you any way we can. If you're not in the building, let us know that's what you want to do, and we'll help you. And if you've done those things, have you been living faithfully, or do you need to say, Lord, I have sinned. I know I've gotten back into things I should never have gotten back into. I pray for your forgiveness as I repent. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Whatever we can do. Do you need to respond? Come now as we stand and sing.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Amen. as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, let's start by giving thanks for the bread. Will you pray with me? Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you so much for your Son who willingly came to the cross and gave himself for us. Pray that you'll be with us as we partake of this bread, which represents his body, that we might do it in a way that is pleasing in your sight. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we continue in the Lord's Supper, let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, again we come to you and thank you for your Son, for your Son's willingness to go to the cross, for his willingness to shed blood for our, so that we might have hope of eternal life. Dear God, I pray that we'll partake of this in a way and manner which is well-pleasing to you, and I just pray that you'll be with us all the days of our life. In Christ's name, amen. While we're still gathered here this morning, let's go ahead and give thanks for the amount of things that we've been blessed with. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this opportunity to gather. Thank you so much for the number of blessings that you have given to us. Dear God, we understand that nothing we have comes from us, but it all comes from you. Pray, dear God, that as we think about giving this morning, we'll give with an abundant heart. I pray that all the things that we take in will be used in accordance with your will and to further your kingdom. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand, please, for our closing hymn?
You are beautiful.
Let us again pray. Our Father and God, we're thankful for this opportunity to come again, gather in your name, in a place, dear God, where we're unimpeded, unrestricted by government. We have this opportunity to secure this blessing for ourselves. We pray, dear God, for every person and family, care provider that's going to be mentioned, every situation that's been brought to the congregation's attention through these announcements, through our bulletin and daily focus. We lift them up to you during this time as they face struggle. Help us to not be negligent to them in word, deed, or prayer. We ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.